I was a victim of physical, verbal, and sexual abuse as a kid. My sexual abuse made me question if I was straight, bi, gay, if the things that were happening to me were because I carried myself in a certain way, because that's what the person that was abusing me thought of me.
Welcome to the Let Good Things In Show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you're here. At the Let Good Things In Show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. I am excited, as always, to be bringing you my guest today. But before we dive into the episode, if you're loving the show, make sure to go over to Apple Podcasts and leave it a review. Also, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Send me an email, amanda@amandaacker.com. Acker is A-C-K-E-R. Or find me over on Instagram at the Let Good Things In Show. Today's guest is Duke Lott. This conversation went a lot of places. We talk about childhood abuse. We talk about addiction. We talk a little bit about incarceration. We talk about all kinds of things. And Duke is so inspirational. And I'm just really excited to be sharing his voice with all of you. So here's a little bit about Duke before we dive into the conversation. As a motivational speaker, Duke is an inspirational personality that has worked in the inner city for over a decade. Serving as program director for nonprofits, Duke discovered his passion for mentoring and public speaking. As a former collegiate tennis player, Duke learned how to communicate with people of different races, creeds, and colors, which he uses to inspire changes in how people view, deal, and discuss race relations. Based in Michigan, Duke is a certified crisis prevention instructor, diversity and lifestyle coach, and former radio board operator for country music and NASCAR. Duke is an author and writer. His books include 101 Steps to a Successful Interracial Relationship and Fear Led Me to Faith, coming in 2022. I am very excited for his book to come out this year. But enough of me. Without further ado, let's dive in. Hi, Duke. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you and your story. I love what you do. And I feel like we have so much in common that we can share and allow people to hear our stories so that they can help themselves and grow.
Totally agree with you there, Duke. So, you know, just to start the conversation off, could you tell us your story and what, you know, part of like what you've been through to get you to where you're at today, inspiring other people?
Okay. So first of all, I am a father and I'm an author and I'm a motivational speaker. And part of my story is that I have been through therapy. I care about mental health issues. And I want to help as many people as possible because I know sometimes it's hard to ask for help. And part of my story is that I went through a small period of my life where I dealt with addiction and I dealt with alcoholism. I've had double hip surgery. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I got brand new hips in my body, which allows me to run 8Ks and nice. Do marathons and check off things on my bucket list. But before things got better, I went through some things that were very traumatic in my life. I've experienced childhood traumatic situations. I went through abuse as a kid, and my story allows me to be open and honest about the things that I've been through. I've been through periods in my life where I struggled with sobriety, and I'm thankful to be sober. Mm. And I'm very happy about that as one of my trophies in life. And I want to share my story with you and with the viewers to say that you can make it and you can overcome when society doubts you or doesn't want to give you a second chance. I'm that advocate for people who deserve second chances in life and be able to pick themselves up and say, hey, let's get going. I'm all about diversity. So that's what my podcast will be about. My podcast will be highlighting diversity, inclusion, and equality for everyone. I believe that everyone deserves a seat at the table.
Definitely.
And everyone deserves a chance to share their story. And that's why I'm here.
Amazing. Wow. So much to unpack there. I would like to start, with your childhood, like you mentioned abuse. So, when you were experiencing that, do you remember what feelings you had stemming from, about yourself stemming from that abuse?
Yeah. So my therapy and my counseling allows me to be open and to share my experiences, hoping that I help someone.
Yeah.
But also, it is therapeutic for me in a sense. So I was a victim of physical, verbal, and sexual abuse as a kid. Mm-hmm. And, for me, one of the things I can highlight is that my sexual abuse made me question who I was as a young man.
Yeah.
And it made me think about if I was straight or if I, at that time, I didn't know about straight, bi, gay, but it made me question if the things that were happening to me were because I carried myself in a certain way, because that's what the person that was abusing me thought of me. And so that's where diversity comes in for me, because I understand what it feels like to not know who you are or to question who you are. And it was very hurtful, but at the same time, it taught me about people. It taught me how to forgive. It taught me how to move forward, and it taught me to dig deep into my spirit, into my soul, and to think about, who I really am. So this journey is about finding out who I am.
Yeah.
And helping as many people as possible, because I know a lot of victims of abuse, they go through things where they don't want to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the famous words that I can quote from my abuser was, you better not tell nobody, because no one would believe you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps you in the shadows. That keeps you in a sense of darkness where you keep it inside, and because you think that you're less than.
Yeah. Wow.
So, it was hard. And one of the things that I'm grateful for is that my therapy it took me a lot of years, but I didn't tell people in my family, and I didn't tell my mother in particular what was happening. Mm-hmm. My mother was the closest person to me, and I hid it from her because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
I just didn't know any better. I went through it from a period of age 8 until probably 11, 12 years old. So wow. there was a space of time where, you know, and at that same time I was playing sports and, you know, succeeding in sports and succeeding in school. And so, you know, no one knew what was happening to me at that time. And one of the weirdest things about it in my life, and it feels so good to share this experience because this is one of the things that's in my book, is that at that time in my life, there was a crack epidemic in America. And my abuser had me going out at night when everyone was asleep and selling drugs to other people.
Oh my goodness. And
yeah, so it got real, you know. It was really real. And you know, I mean, I was a little kid out there at night, you know, and peddling and doing things, and my reward was a pair of sneakers and jeans and money. And so it was real life, you know. And I'm grateful to be here today to be able to share that experience, because some people don't make it out of that, you know, right. And I'm grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I couldn't imagine, you know, my daughter's 8. So when you said 8, like, that's the first thing that came to mind. Like, I couldn't imagine my child going through something like that. You know, I myself did not experience that. So it's always shocking to me, you know, when I hear these stories and how often it does happen, because I've interviewed quite a few people who have a similar experience of childhood sexual abuse. And it's shocking, you know, to think that how many people are going through it right now who don't feel that they can say anything, you know, because of the fear that your abuser's inflicting in you to not say something, you know. And I'm just glad that you are in a place where you can share that to give others hope. And so they know that they can speak up and they do have a voice and they don't have to go through that. You know, did you eventually tell your mom? Like, how did you, so you said from about to 11 or 12. So did you end up like telling someone to the point where your abuser, was arrested? Like, how did it end?
No. Well, wow, this is so great to be able to talk about it, because this is one of the things that, I haven't, you know, in my book I share it, mm-hmm. and, on other appearances, I haven't gotten to this point. And so I'm thankful, to be able to say this, but my abuser, was, one of my uncles, mm-hmm. and, my abuser, died in a drug conflict. You know, that was his life. He was, you know, a seller, you know, and yeah. So he died because someone wanted his spot and whatnot. And to me, it's therapeutic to talk about it, because I never told anybody, you know, about what was going on. But in the last, it's been about 2.5 years, almost 3 years, where I went through some things in life where I, you know, had a conversation with my mom, and I was like, hey, you know, I need to talk to you. You know, I need to get some stuff off my chest, mm-hmm. and it's going to help me and it's going to help you. And, you know, and I told her what was going on, and she said, you know, I had no idea. I had no idea. And we both cried, and it was beautiful. And it was therapeutic, and it was powerful. It was definitely a thing that led me to where I am today, that has allowed me to share my story, to help others, and to not be afraid, you know, because even as an adult, sometimes you know, we are afraid to share some of the things that has happened to us.
Oh, yeah.
And we keep a lot of things inside, and through therapy and through counseling, it has allowed me to be open, because I have learned that through being open and being honest and being vulnerable and being able to speak upon the things that has happened to you or me allows me to advance my therapy. It allows me to get stronger. It allows me to help someone. And it allows me to just be open about what has happened and to move forward and to forgive. And that's my message, is that forgiveness is a big deal to me. And I just want to help.
Yeah, forgiveness is definitely a huge thing. It's a hard thing. You know, when you look back over your life, when you've been through so much, and, you know, in therapy too, like my therapist tells me, like, I have to learn how to forgive not only myself, but those who have hurt me along the way, and forgive myself for those choices. You know, you were a child, so you didn't make that choice. That was done to you. That's different. But for like the situations like incarceration and things like that, like, we made those choices, you know, and we have to forgive ourselves for that. And it's hard, you know. So stemming from the abuse, like, how did your addiction start? Like, what's that story?
Well, I believe in my book, I talk about the root of my addiction story. So I believe my addiction story, and I know, not something I believe, but I know, it started with my father and seeing things at a young age that I didn't understand at that time. But as I got older, I got wiser, more knowledge, and was able to process it.
Yeah.
So I realized some of the things that him and my mother were going through. And my addiction started from being able to hide things and not being open and talking about it. So as a young African-American male, I've been taught that I should keep everything inside and that I should not show my feelings to the world. I'm Superman. I can handle anything. And that's not the case. That's not true.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts you. It makes you seek out other ways to be able to cope with life. So I believe that's the root of my addiction. And but as I got older, I played sports. I played tennis in college, and I've always played basketball, so I've been good at that. And I beat down my body enough to where my hips deteriorated through, playing sports and through my genetics. So I was able to experience a lot of pain.
Yeah.
So that pain led to going to a doctor and getting pills and starting with that. And it's like, you know, at first, you're just taking one at a time. And then all of a sudden, to cope with pain, I'm taking two or three,
yep,
you know, at a time. So now I have an opioid addiction that I have to address, you know. And but at the same time, you know, I have a family. I have to work. So I'm trying to keep it all together. And it becomes a juggling act. And it becomes hard, you know, and it becomes one of those things where it's like, you know, I just got to keep going. I just got to keep going. I just got to keep progressing through life. And I was lucky enough to be able to have health insurance and to be able to go to a doctor to get a real MRI. And I go to this doctor and I go to a surgeon and he says, you have 3% cartilage in one hip and 1% in the other hip.
Wow.
So through that process, it allowed me to address everything. You know, it allowed me to address everything. I mean, but before that, I went through counseling. When I was young, my mother realized that I was one of those ones that needed to go to a counselor. So my therapy started for me in my life when I was 11 years old. You know, that's...
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. Because like for me, like therapy and mental health and all that growing up, like that wasn't something we talked about. Like if you went to therapy, you were crazy. You know, it wasn't real. You know, people don't, depression isn't a thing. And I watched my mom, well, that was more my dad saying those things. So like I watched my mother, who is now diagnosed bipolar and has a lot of mental illnesses that were untreated, which led her to a lot of really destructive behaviors later in life, you know, because she had no way of getting help, you know. And that's amazing that your mother saw that and got you that help, you know, and you were able to, you know, talk about that kind of stuff as a kid.
And that's one of the things I want to say, that I commend her for that. Even though we were going through our things as mother and son, I commend her for that because she saw the need. And my mother's a very smart lady. She's an author. Mm-hmm. But that, I want to say that's one of the things I admire about your story, is that I know that you are that person that is strong because of the things you went through. Like, you know, some people would like to think, okay, if I went through this, it happened overnight. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's a progression, you know, and I definitely am proud of you.
Oh, thanks.
I commend you. I really love that you are able to speak upon the things that you have been through, because a lot of ladies, I mean, I think sometimes in society, one of the stigmas is that guys can talk about things that they've been through and ladies sometimes can't. You know, they have to, you know, it's not certain domestic violence or different things. Ladies are supposed to not speak upon what they've been through. You are speaking upon, you know, that group of people that have been incarcerated and been to that place where it's not that fun, you know. And in my life, I've been through that point where I got a drinking and driving, and, you know, I went to jail, and, you know, my life was somewhat put together. I was trying to keep it together. Mm-hmm. So I was able to bond out, you know what I mean? And unless you've been there, you don't know what bond is, you know what I mean?
You don't want to know. If you've never been there, you don't want to know. And, you know, to speak to the point of, you know, women talking about things that we've been through, I was literally just talking to someone about this today, too. And it's true. Like, when I'm a formerly incarcerated person, like, I felt like I had to hide it from the world. Like, I felt like if I tell this story, like, you know, people are going to judge me, you know, who's, you know, maybe my kid's school's going to find out, then they're going to get made fun of or bullied about it, you know, and how do I navigate all of this? So, like, I just didn't say anything about it. You know, obviously, like, those close to me knew, but in a public sense and even with employers, like, I didn't tell. But it's true, now that you said that, like, because I can find countless men who have been incarcerated. I mean, I have, you know, tons of men that I've met through my podcast that have been incarcerated. But it's harder to find the women. Now, I found some. You know, there are some of us out there, but it's not as big as men, you know. And men are doing so many amazing things. But, like, I want to do amazing things too, you know. And I feel like it's harder, right? You know. I feel like there's, like, something going against me, but I don't know what it is, you know. And it's very true. And I tell my story you know, I started telling my story before I even realized that, you know, I didn't realize that there was anybody really talking about being incarcerated. And once I started looking for it, I was like, oh, shit, like, there's countless people who are doing this, but they were mainly men. It took me a while to find formerly incarcerated women that were speaking about their experiences. And, you know, then there's also post-incarceration, which is a whole other story in itself, you know. So when you went to jail, so did you spend any time in jail, or was it just getting arrested and then getting bailed out?
Well, I spent a weekend and a few days after that. So I spent about 5-6 days. But and you know, and you know, I got a bond, and you know, my life afforded me to be able to bail out and get things together and, you know, communicate. But I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through that, and I've stared at those walls, and, you know, I know what it feels like to count bricks, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's not a fun thing. And,
it's not.
I'm so glad that you are able to express that. And I'm glad that I was able to bring that out, because I know in America right now, there's a big thing going on about criminal reform, and mm-hmm. especially in the African American community, there's a thing going on about criminal reform. And I'm glad you were able to speak upon that, because I know that certain people are advocating for ladies to make sure that they speak up about the things that they've been through. And that's important to me, for one, because I've been fortunate to have strong aunts in my life that were strong females. And, you know, I have a strong mother, but also because I have daughters. And of course, I don't want my daughters to go through, you know, that kind of situation.
Right.
But to me, life is life, you know, and the reality of things is that, you know, sometimes people make bad choices that are their choices, and they make choices that are, you know, thrown upon them, you know, or whatnot. But your story to me is so inspiring, because there's, you know, a lot of ladies out there that think that they have to hide. You know, they have to hide because, oh, I'm a lady. I'm a woman. I'm not supposed to. Well, no one's supposed to get in trouble. You know what I mean? If that's, you know, that's the way life is, you know, no one's supposed to do anything bad. We're all supposed to be good. And, you know, we're all supposed to be about humanity and doing the right thing. But sometimes people, they make mistakes and they go in a bad way. And, to me, life is about being able to get up and have the opportunity to say, I deserve a second chance, you know, and some people deserve a third chance. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
You know, and
sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to say, when it comes to second chances, like, it's so true. Like, I lived this life of shame, guilt, and I still do. I'm still ashamed of what I did. I still have guilt around what I did and the choices that I made and just all of it. But, you know, I do feel wholeheartedly like, yeah, ever since I got in trouble, like, even like while I was incarcerated, I had this thought of like, but we deserve a second chance. Like, it's not fair, in my opinion, for someone to like get in trouble, serve their time, get out, have no help whatsoever to get their feet back on the ground, and then go back. You know, there's a lot of, you know, people that keep going back, right? Fortunately, I did not. I went once and that was enough. But that happens a lot. And then you're punished repeatedly. Like, yeah, I went to jail once. But I'm punished for it to this day, 13 years later, like I can't carry a gun. I can't volunteer at my kid's school. I can't, you know, get a job in healthcare. I can't be a school teacher. There's so many can'ts. And it's like, I hate saying that word, but I can't, you know, if I go to try and get a gun, I'm going back to jail, you know, so it's just not worth it. Can't do it. You know, and I think there needs to be more programs available for formerly incarcerated people, more options, more employers who are willing to give us a chance. Because if it wasn't for my day job that I'm so grateful for, that my boss actually heard me and listened to my story, and I get to work in the mental health field as an office manager, I have, you know, because I put myself out there, but it took me 13 freaking years to get there, to feel comfortable enough to tell someone. So that's not okay. It shouldn't have taken that long, you know? So, I mean, there are a lot of programs I'm seeing. Like, I'm doing a lot of research around this, and I'm seeing that there are programs out there, but they're not everywhere. It's not a national thing. You know, it's very much on the West Coast. I notice there's a lot over there, but I'm East Coast. I'm in Pittsburgh. There's not a whole lot of help here for us. And, you know, I think it's really important that another point of this podcast is to change the perspective of formerly incarcerated people, people who have addiction issues, people with mental illnesses, because I have all three of those going against me. And, you know, it makes you feel like you're alone, like you're insignificant, you're less than human, right? I always say I feel like I'm less than human most days, you know?
So. Well, and that's the thing that I want to express is that you're not that. You are a true inspiration. And to me, in my world, and just how I view life, you are a role model because you have spoken up about the things that you have been through. And there's a lot of people that just hang out in the shadows and, you know, they don't express what they've been through. And that's what makes your story so awesome to me, is that you are expressing what you've been through, you're moving forward, and you are more than you think. You are a role model to a lot of ladies out there that are saying, okay, I'm a woman and I shouldn't have done this, but I deserve to have my life back. Yeah. And that's what I think that's where we're moving forward to as a society. You know, I pay attention to stuff like that because one of the people that I would love to shout out, his name is Lester Young.
Oh, I know Lester, and, sort of. I know who you're talking about.
He's that guy. He's that guy because he's out there. He's trying. He's helping people. He's helping kids. Mm-hmm. He's helping all kinds of people. And he's in the same mode as you, is that he's a role model.
Yeah, he is.
You know, people make mistakes in life. If you show me a person that hasn't made some kind of mistake, whether they've been caught or not, then, you know, kudos to you.
Right. I haven't met that person, but who knows?
I've made mistakes in my life, so I know what it's like to feel like, hey, like, man, you gotta get it together. You know, you gotta pick yourself up and you gotta stay positive. But society has been brainwashed to look down upon people who have made mistakes, have been formerly incarcerated. And once you have done the things to rehab yourself, the therapy, the counseling, the restitution of paying back society for the mistakes that you may have made, then you deserve the chance to build a new life, volunteer at the kids' school.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to.
I get it. I get it. If it's been, you know, because you know, one of the things that I've been through is the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And I get it once you are a part of that list to me. But if you're not, unless you have severe domestic issues that allow you to be considered a threat to society, then I believe you deserve a second chance. And even those people deserve a second chance because people pick themselves up, you know? They pick themselves up and they go forward. And but sometimes all you need is a chance, you know? Yeah. A chance. That's what, to me, that's what life is about. And that's why I'm here. That's why I love what you do. I love your story because your story is about redemption. It's about a chance. And to me, you've taken advantage of the chance that you've been given.
Thank you for noticing that. You know, I think a lot of times, you're saying all these nice things about me and I don't know how to react to it. So thank you.
I'm acknowledging because you're not the only one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're not the only one. That's not a thing. You know, there's many people like me. There's many people like you that, you know, are inspirational and that allow us to say about our lives that we can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Therapy was my thing. Therapy allowed me to restart my life and to, and therapy was my second chance, you know, realizing that I had some issues going that I was keeping inside for a long time and I was hiding. But once I started expressing it and once I started voicing it, once I started talking about it, I opened up more and here I am.
Yeah. Therapy is, you know, one of the best things that anyone can do for themselves, you know, no matter what you've been through. I mean, even if you haven't had some crazy traumatic experience, it's so important to talk about your feelings, you know, because as a society, you know, I think, you know, especially for men, you know, you're taught to, like you said earlier, like you're not supposed to be emotional. You're not supposed to be vulnerable. You're not supposed to cry or, you know, do any of those things. You know, you're a man and all this stuff. And that's just simply not true. Like we all have emotions. I don't give a shit what your gender is. We all have emotions and we should all feel free to express those emotions in a healthy and safe way, you know, and I can't stand that stigma around men. That seriously drives me crazy. I just can't tolerate it. I think, you know, or like you'll hear like on, you know, TV and stuff, like on movies, like, oh, you're crying, you're weak, you know, and all this. Just, no, like that's not weak. That honestly, I would rather see a man cry when he's hurt than a man try to stand there and be all tough, because that's not reality. Because deep down, that man is still suffering, whether he's showing it or not. So why not get it out and show your emotions and be vulnerable to that, you know?
Yeah, for a long time, I was I kept those emotions inside because I was taught that you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not part of the game. That's not part of, you know, who you're supposed to be. So being vulnerable was not an option because I was, you know, not supposed to cry. I was not supposed to keep it inside. But one of the things that helped me is that my mother was definitely a strong Christian as I was growing up as a kid. And I would always hear her praying and I would always hear her meditating. And in some of those things, she would be crying. Mm. And so I remember some of the times it was like, you know, weird. But then there was a few times where it was like so peaceful and so awesome that it made me realize that it was okay to cry. And I believe in crying. I believe crying is very therapeutic.
It is.
Every time I cry, it cleanses my soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cleanses me to a point where after I'm done, it feels like, wow, I'm so glad I did that.
Right.
You know, it feels good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that's so. But some dudes look at it like, oh man, that's not cool to say. I'm okay with that, because if you're not crying, you're keeping it inside, and it's coming out in some way.
Right. In an unhealthy way, right? You know, like when you hold your emotions in, because I do it too. My husband and I were just talking about this the other night. Like, I have a hard time expressing my emotions, and I'm a woman, and I have a very hard time expressing my emotions because of how I was raised. And when you do that, you push it down, it comes out in anger, or you're picking fights with your loved ones over absolutely nothing because you didn't deal with that emotion when it first occurred. You know, so it's important for us to feel our emotions when they happen and work through them instead of pushing them down. That's how my addiction started, is I just didn't want to feel the emotions. So I numbed them, right? Like, I didn't want to deal with it. So the only thing I knew how to deal with it was drinking, using pills, and smoking weed. Like, that was it. You know, that was my life for many, many years. And, you know, another thing I wanted to ask you too, Duke, is, you know, how long have you been sober?
So I'm going on 3 years.
Nice. And, congrats.
I've been through therapy to the point where I made a couple mistakes along the road, and I've had relapses where I went through relapse prevention therapy. So I don't know if you know, or other people know, our viewers, but that's a thing.
I never heard of that.
Therapy. Yeah, it's a thing that allows you to find the pitfalls and find the triggers that allow you to not make those same mistakes. So I feel grateful to be able to say that I'm clean and sober, and that I've been through relapse prevention therapy.
Awesome.
And that, you know, and that's the thing that was important for me to come and to be a guest on your podcast, was to say, you know, if you fail and if you make mistakes, you know, and if you fall, you can pick yourself up. And that's what I'm all about. I'm all about being able to share my story, of being able to pick myself up and being able to say, I've been through what it feels like to be, let me see. I know what it feels like to be almost 2 years sober and then go through something and then make a mistake.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, man, my clean time is gone.
Yeah.
You know, and now I got to start all over again, you know, and it's not a good feeling. But if you are committed, if you are willing to accept the mistake that you have made, you can move forward. And so I'm grateful to be clean and sober on this day. I'm grateful to be far along in that. So this is my journey is about making sure that people understand that it's a daily thing.
A daily thing.
Yeah, it's a daily, like this morning, to prepare for my day and to prepare for my visit to, you know, talk with you, I got a whole hour in of meditation, and it felt really good.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, the way I do it is, you know, it's focused, it's breathing, it's eyes closed, is trying not to be aware of the time. And I have to get up early because I have kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't do that when they're up, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's impossible.
yeah. But this is important to me because I just want to be able to share my story with people and say that you can do it. You know, it's definitely doable. But for me, meditation has helped. Yoga has helped. Physical exercise has helped. Finding different ways of eating clean has helped. So one of my things is that I find joy in the small things. Yeah. So the small things, the smiles, the ups and downs, you know, my kids' faces, and just being able to say that I'm not going to let my past mistakes keep me down in dumps, you know. And I think sometimes people, their past mistakes keeps them down.
Yeah, most certainly does. You know, I think that, you know, in my experience and from all the people that I've talked to throughout my podcast, like that's a commonality, you know, like we tend to hold on to all of our traumas and keep ourselves in a downward spiral because we feel like we can't. Well, I always felt for me, like I didn't deserve anything good, you know, especially after incarceration. Like it was just like, well, you know, like this is my life now. Just I can't do anything, you know, and that's how I felt. And it's just simply, it's just not true, you know. And I wish that I had someone like me or you in my life back then to show me that, right? Because if you're just out there like living and you've been through shit, it's really hard to just pick yourself back up. That's not an easy thing to do,
yeah.
You know, and it's really hard to ask for help in those scenarios too, especially if you're in active addiction and you know that you need to get clean, but you just don't know how. And then you're afraid to get clean at the same time. It's scary, you know, because you're taking like what you have known for however long you've been using. And now you're saying, okay, I'm going to leave all this behind and go do something different. And that's really hard.
Yeah, I know that. And it's very touching because I went through it because I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And when I say pain, I mean not just mentally, but body pain. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I know it's hard for people when they think that they're going to be sick. That was one of the hardest things for me was that I was like, I realized that if I stopped, I got to the point where I realized that if I stopped taking pills, I was going to be sick.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that. And that's not easy to cope with because, you know, life says you got to keep going, you know, especially if you're trying to hide it. You know what right. I mean? Like when I was going through it, I was trying to hide it. I was working at the same time. So, you know, I was just trying to, you know, keep my life together, you know, and, but you're totally right. It's not easy task. And, you have to be brave. You have to have people in your corner and you have to be able to reach out for help, yes. You know? And, that was my main thing is that I went through therapy enough to where I was able to realize that I cannot do this alone. I have to reach out. And being alone and not reaching out for help is only going to lead me back to the things that I hate, you know, and that I didn't like about myself. And but you grow and you realize that, you know, I mean, especially if you have children, you know, sometimes children can give you another reason to achieve and to strive.
Oh,
and
for sure.
That's
yeah. That's very
that's
true.
One of the things that I've been grateful for. And one of the things I do want to say is that, you know, leading up to April, not tomorrow, but the next day, it's World Autism Day.
Oh.
And I have an autistic daughter. That is, she will be 4 this year.
Aww.
And she means so it means so much to me. And it's one of the reasons why I'm able to do what I do and to stay positive and to be able to say that I can make it, you know, another day, another day, another day. And I didn't want to forget. So I noticed that you have the Sober is the New Cool yes. sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kim.
yeah, she's awesome.
I didn't want to forget Kim. No, like, to me, I love her story. And I got to get me one of them sweatshirts. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. And when you get one, you get, she sends a sticker. And like a little note card. And it was really sweet.
You got the sticker right there. That's crazy.
It's my, honestly, like I have like little things everywhere that like just my reminders. Like for some reason, Sober is the New Cool, like really spoke to me. Like, I don't know Kim. If you listen to this, I'd love to meet you. But I don't know her story. I just know that Sober is the New Cool just like really spoke to me. And I was like, so I have it. I have the sticker on my desk. I have my note card on my bulletin board over here. So I see it everywhere because it just, I don't know. It's like a reminder, like sober. I'm good. I'm safe. I'm sober, you know? And I like that is the new cool. It's awesome.
And that's so cool that you say that, and shout out to her, and she's awesome. And if anybody, if you don't know who Kim is, you need to look up Sober is the New Cool. And, but the one thing that I definitely heard in what you said is that you feel safe, and that means a lot to feel safe.
It does.
You know, and you should be celebrated, you should be happy, you should be proud of yourself. And I know the people around you, oh my goodness, they, you know, especially I think you have a husband, right?
I do have a husband, yeah.
Okay, so I know he's super proud of you. I know he's super proud of you. Like, because I can imagine just you guys, you know, having what they call it. What do people do that think they're cool? They call it pillow talk. So I can imagine you guys having the pillow talk about the things you've been through, the things he's been through, and, you know, I know he's super proud of you.
He is, yeah. You know, it's been an amazing journey. And you too, Duke. Like, every time I see your face on Instagram, I'm like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, you make me smile. Like, you have an infectious smile. And just the things that you're doing, the stories that you're sharing, the work that you're doing, just everything. Like, you're such a giving person. And I don't know you besides for Instagram and today, but I can tell you're a very giving person. You care, you know, and that takes a lot, especially from what you've been through, you know, like you know, it would be real easy for you to just be an asshole and say, fuck the world and not give a shit. Right. So, but you don't, you know, and that means something that speaks volumes. And I'm just so grateful that we crossed paths. Well, I think it was Rena from Better Call Daddy that got us connected originally. Love her. So many shout outs.
Like, she's so, I don't think she, maybe she does know, but I don't think she realizes how special she is because, you know, it, like I said, maybe she does know, but she is super special to me. I will always be grateful to her. I look up to her, and she is such an inspirational podcast host, mother, wife. You know, what she does in the Jewish community is very exceptional. And every time I get a chance, I try to celebrate her because she's a hero to me. So I'm glad you said that, you know, and you know, hopefully we get to this point in the episode where we're able to, you know, give her that credit that she deserves. But she's awesome.
Yeah, she is. She's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah.
I remember when she, I found her through a guest I had on my podcast, Craig Stanlin, which I love him too.
But oh, I know who Craig is.
You know Craig?
That's Superman to me. I know Craig. Oh, my goodness, man. Craig. I know who Craig is.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I know who Craig is. Craig, his book, I can't wait to get his book. And it talks about, you know, what he's been through. Craig is that guy. You know,
that
I
book?
Know who Craig is.
Yeah, his book's amazing.
You have that?
Oh, yeah, I read it. Yeah, it's so good. So good. Definitely read that book, Blank Canvas. So good. But I forget where I was going with this now. Completely lost my train of thought.
Rena.
Oh, Rena. Yeah, that's how I met her because she commented on a post of his. And I was like, who the heck is Rena? And I clicked on her. I was like, Better Call Daddy. Like, what is that? And then it was like, oh, that's what that is. I want to be on Better Call Daddy. So I just social stalked her until she said, yeah, come on my show. I was like, yay.
Hey, that's my girl, though. Like, you know, that was a very huge highlight for me. This is a highlight for me. And, you know, I waited a while to hear Wayne's, that's her daddy's name.
Oh,
Wayne,
yeah.
I waited a while to hear his comments. And after I heard him, I listened to it over and over and over. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he is like spot on.
Right?
So, from there on, I was hooked. I was like, oh my goodness, like, wow, these, you know, they're special because they take the time to listen to what is the guest is saying, mm-hmm. you know. So shout out to Wayne and shout out to Rena and shout out to Zeb. You know, that's their husband. I don't know if you know, but I'm pretty sure you do, you know. And they have beautiful kids. They have such a beautiful thing going on, beautiful family. So I'm glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. The podcasting community and all the guests that I've met through it and everyone that I've seen their stories and research and all that, I'm just blown away. There's so many amazing humans in this world. And I just hope that people listen to your story and the stories of others and get inspired to do the same, because we can all be an inspiration to others. And you don't have to, I'm not saying everyone has to publicly tell their dark, deep, dark secrets and stories. But you can do it in some way. You know, if you see someone who's suffering and, you know, ask them if they're okay. Check on your family. Check on your friends, you know, and make it a point to be that positive light in someone's life, because we all need that at some point. And I still need a positive light, too, every now and then. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not healed. I'm still on the journey. You know, I've only been sober for about 3 years as well, you know, and it's rough. It is rough around the edges is what I like to call it. So.
Oh, yeah. It's rough. And one of the things that I would like to say is that my book, which will be done in by the end of June, July.
Nice.
It's called From Fear to Faith. Mm. And when I speak upon faith, it is not so much as, you know, a specific religion or anything like that, but it's definitely about finding that higher power and that spiritual insight of myself that allowed me to be able to come out of the shadows and say that my story can maybe inspire someone else to get help and to share their story. And it will be out at the beginning of July. And it's been a project that I've been working on for a while, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, I'm excited to get it and read it. I bet you it's amazing. I already know. I don't even have to have it. I know it's amazing. So definitely let me know when that comes out. And then Duke, just to wrap things up, I could talk to you forever, but to wrap things up, could you tell people, like, if they wanted to find you, learn more about you, where could they go for that?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at The Duke Lott, and you can find me on Facebook at the same handle, and on LinkedIn at Duke Lott. And you'll be able to find me on YouTube. I've done some episodes that are on YouTube, and I know that you're going to be able to find my book everywhere, Amazon, and my upcoming podcast, which will be about diversity and inclusion and equality for all. Mm-hmm. That will be out in the beginning of May for sure. So
awesome.
I got some exciting guests lined up, and I'm hoping to be privileged enough to be able to have you as a guest on my podcast. So, that would be awesome. And I just would like to say thank you for your time. Thank you for your space. And thank you for being an inspiration to not only ladies, but to all out there that have been through something that society says wasn't supposed to happen. You know, it's part of your journey. And to me, it makes you beautiful, you know, and it makes you a great woman, and you should be commended to be able to speak about what you've been through, because there's so many in the shadows that don't speak upon it, you know. And I'm foreverly grateful. I'm inspired. I'm smiling, you know, and I'm so happy to be a small part of your journey. It definitely means a lot to me.
Well, Duke, I really appreciate you. I appreciate your time as well, and for sharing so openly about what you've been through and how you've recovered and continue to be an inspiration. And I really look forward to reading that book. And yes, of course, I will be a guest on your podcast. Just let me know when.
Okay, so the book, again, if anybody didn't hear it, if y'all didn't hear it, is called From Fear to Faith.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Duke, for being here. And I appreciate you so much. And as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you are stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show. And I will talk to y'all soon.